The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Thank you for listening, calling, and participating. Lots of great interaction today on the phones, on Twitch. Bears Victory Monday. Thank you to Charlie Bevins and Adam Abdallah. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. We got a little bit of a crazy week again, scheduling-wise. We've got two early shows because of day baseball, including the game that's probably going to determine...
White Sox! We're going to lose the final game in Oakland.
If they lose Thursday, that's probably going to be it, to be honest, because they will have guaranteed that they lose the tiebreaker.
Yeah,
they can't afford to lose any games to the Indians. I almost did it. The Guardians.
If they lose one more
to the Guardians, they cannot win the tiebreaker.
That's right.
So they really have to win on Thursday. It's kind of why I threw it out there on Twitter last night. They should probably start thinking about changing the rotation to get Cease ready for that game.
And yeah.
Although
Will Tony be on the bench?
Lucas Giolito has amazing career numbers in Cleveland. But still, I think I'd rather have Cease pitch that game. We'll see if they do that. I don't know that they're going to. He's scheduled to pitch Wednesday.
Let me ask you a question on that real quick. Because a guy, how much do you as a gambler, how much credence do you put into the fact that the last couple of years that Lucas Giolito has been good in Cleveland?
In baseball, not as much. I think trends are much more important in football, especially within coaching staffs. Like why were a lot of us on the Pittsburgh Steelers? You're going to be on the Pittsburgh Steelers when Mike Tomlin's a division dog of a touchdown, yes, like nine times out of ten.
Right. Yeah.
And because regardless of Big Ben or
Parliament
or Mitch or Kenny Pickett going, whoever, there's something about Tomlin and his ability to coach a team and prepare a team.
Well, and use the fact that the Bengals have boat raced them each of the last two times. Like Tomlin plays a role.
I wouldn't be on it nearly as much if Giolito. Like, I'm not betting Giolito if he starts that game Thursday because of the trend of him being a decent pitcher over the years.
Because the bigger trend is the one that he has given you this year where he hasn't been
that good.
Yeah. Yes.
So anyway, he's been
better on the road. Yeah.
He has been a little bit better. It's still an ERA, like four or something.
I know.
He's been better on the road.
Like, compared to an ERA of seven.
I know. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Wednesday's a day game. We're going to be on early at the live event at Rich Harvest. We'll be on from 10 to 12:30.
That's right.
And then on Thursday, we'll be on from 10 until 11:30 getting ready for it. Like I said, the game that's probably going to decide if the Sox are still going to stay in this thing over the last couple of weeks on Thursday afternoon.
Big one.
Yes. All right. And then
we're doing we just worked this out. We're doing an early Unhinged this week. Tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do tomorrow.
I was just accused upstairs of swearing too much in this last
one. That's what Danny told me.
Well, let me tell you. It's because, you get freewheeling. We had somebody drop an F-bomb today.
On the air. Yeah.
Oh, really?
They must have listened to an Unhinged today.
They must have been listening to Unhinged.
Was it a good F-bomb?
He lost himself.
He lost himself in his excitement.
Yes.
And so, it was appropriate. It was in the flow of conversation.
Yeah, he just lost himself. All right, so tomorrow Unhinged. I don't think you're swearing too much either. I don't think you could swear too much.
No. I found myself saying the F-word quite a bit the last episode as well.
You guys were all screaming at me for some crazy reason.
Why? Because you were late.
It was silly.
It was silly. You were late.
What did you guys think? Bears off to a 1-0 start.
Yes.
Bears hits principal. Hits. Bears.
Jalen Johnson, peanut punch. On the same day that Peanut's out there for Alumni Day.
That's right.
As an honorary captain.
Didn't believe.
I mean, this guy's in the doghouse in the spring, running with the twos.
Yeah, how
and
about
now
that?
Eberflus is, he's a buying in, and now he's forcing a fumble in game one. This is a successful story here.
Maybe Tevin Jenkins is in the same category as well.
So I asked Yurko about rotating offensive linemen in a game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would think it's not ideal.
I think they want to get...
Is Patrick wearing the club on his hand, right? I mean, a modified club?
Yeah. No, it's a club.
Yeah. So I think ultimately you want to get to the point where I think they feel their best five, and maybe it's Patrick at center, Jenkins at guard, Borum at tackle, and maybe Mustafa, is the odd guy out. I don't know.
Do you think they do that again this weekend?
I'm not sure.
Seems like something you wouldn't want
this
to
is
do.
What I, this is what
line.
I do think, Carm. I think this entire season is going to be a very flexible you know, kind of every week they're going to bring guys in. They're going to send. They're going to be the roster is going to be in flux because they're still constantly, I think, to a certain degree, not like the preseason, but they're still trying to find guys that fit their system. I just don't think there's. I think you're going to look at them and say, oh, yeah, that, yeah. I think they're going to do things their way, which may mean that the rotation continues.
Yurko, did you offer your thought on Quinn on the air as you did off the air? We were told about this in our Robert pre-show Quinn. Fist fight.
Talked about trading him away?
Yeah, to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you brought that up on the air. That's true. I don't think we did bring that up.
No, I think
it. We talked about Jimmy
Pittsburgh
to Dallas.
Pittsburgh stays in it, though. Pittsburgh's got to stay in. I think Pittsburgh's going to be a team that's going to compete for the division title. But, yeah, with the loss of T.J. Watt, I think that's...
Why wouldn't you do it right away?
I don't think you have to do it right away. I think they probably have somebody that can replace T.J. Watt.
When that doesn't
and
happen.
And it's got to be proven that that guy can't replace T.J. Watt. Then all of a sudden, I think Quinn becomes a little bit more valuable.
But they just got to back up who could replace T.J. Watt, huh?
Mitchell, go both ways.
No. I mean, just you know how to see what the replacement is.
I mean, here's a guy with 18.5 sacks last year and track record of 10 a year.
You couldn't think you could replace Khalil Mack, but yet they've got a guy here that might replace Khalil Mack.
Mack, by the way, with three sacks. Yeah.
Mack had a good game.
Four quarterback
game.
Hits.
I think he always plays well against Carr. He loves Derek Carr. I mean, he really does.
When he's healthy, he's a different
player. Listen, last year
he's too banged up.
He had seven sacks in eight games last year.
Yes. Right.
Like, people forget that.
Right.
And
when
I think
he's healthy, he's
somebody
great.
Told me that I trust 2 or 3 years ago said they're ruining him with regard to how many snaps they're playing him. And as he gets older, you need to give him more rest because he becomes more injury prone.
Yeah.
And they played him like 98% of the snaps. Maybe it's because they gave him so much money. But listen, Johnny, as you get older,
you pay the guy 20 some odd million dollars. Don't you want him out there rushing the quarterback?
Well, yeah, but you also want him fresh.
You want him fresh. Don't you want him out there rushing the quarterback?
Well, if he's not fresh, then you're not using him correctly.
If you're going to sit there and try to use a guy on the eighth play, he's trying to rush the passer, then yeah, that's going to be a problem. That's up to your defensive line coach to substitute.
Absolutely.
When he's good, when he's healthy, though, he's good.
We know that. Because that's even think there are a lot of the games that he did play, Waddle, we talked about this 2 or 3 years ago where he'd be on the sideline riding that bike.
Yeah.
Or he'd try to play through a lot of these injuries, and his production went down because of it.
Yeah. Khalil Mack's not the story here, guys. Khalil Mack's gone.
No, I know. Okay.
The story is this Chicago Bears.
We brought up Quinn.
You said that Dominique Robinson is a replacement for Khalil Mack. Pittsburgh will sit there and they'll take a look.
That's how we got here.
But again, but you guys got focused on Mack for some crazy reason.
Because you brought him up.
No.
You brought him up. No one else brought up Khalil Mack. You said the Bears have a replacement for Khalil Mack and Dominique Robinson.
You're like, duh, they're just going to replace T.J. Watt.
Like, again, like, sometimes...
Duh, my name's Sylvie. Duh.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah, T.J. Watt. They got the T.J. Watt replacement.
They're just going to replace T.J. Watt.
It's a Victory Monday. We should be celebrating together.
They got a T.J. Watt replacement right behind him.
Don't be so silly.
Exactly.
There's another one.
You finally had a good idea, and you went two hours on your show without even volunteering it. You brought it up in your meeting. I was trying to do you a favor.
You don't do me any favors.
I know
because
that.
Every
Believe
time
me.
You speak, all I hear is.
Duh! That's
me,
silly.
Sylvie.
That's a silly comment.
We're back in second grade.
That's a silly comeback.
I don't think we ever left second grade.
Of course it is, because he's got nothing else up here to come back with.
Period.
That's why. Nothing else. Nobody home.
All right.
Who picked the Bears to win?
So there you go. I have them on the money line.
The end of July. You want to take a look?
Nothing.
Take a look.
I get nothing from you.
Who picked the Bears to win?
Nothing from you.
The Kansas City Chiefs are done. The Chiefs are done. Lance Lynn is out for the year.
T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt. They've got to find out if they got a replacement on their team for T.J. Watt.
But it's
The more value for Robert Quinn is...
If somebody else gets beat up, too, now you've got more value for Robert Quinn. So I think you'd be patient with him. Let him have an impact with the Chicago Bears. And then the more attrition that you have around the league, better things happen for your trade value. With
you just
Robert.
Don't want him to get hurt. That'd be a that'd be the bad thing because you could sell at a like.
I'm just glad civility.
Nobody in the NFL makes trades.
If the guy gets hurt,
early,
then he's got like, zero value.
No, I know that's what I mean.
But like, it's not a gamble for you because you didn't trade him away anyway. The best thing can happen is a bonus. That you do get something bonus, for him before he goes away.
I also don't think like,
that's your bonus.
I don't think Pittsburgh's running to anybody to look to make a trade right now.
Not yet.
They will think that they can. Of course, they know they can't replace him, Sylvie. But you know how these franchises think. They're going
to
say next
try
man
to
up,
find somebody,
and they'll try to find somebody. Now, a month from now, they could be desperate, and Quinn could be playing well, and you could get a nice little return.
Tyler brought up an interesting point, though. If the Bears do get better. And next year is go time. You want Robert Quinn on the roster, or would you rather have whatever you get for him this year?
What if you get a
second-round pick that you turn him into?
Right, and another young core piece to grow.
I'd take my chances with a draft pick as opposed to Quinn. That's what I would do.
Quinn's like 34, right?
Listen, I thought...
33?
Yeah, he's older.
32, 33, somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I would take my chances with the younger player.
Listen, I mean, I thought Justin Fields got it right yesterday. The two game balls went to the coach and to the GM. And again, I get it's like really, really early, but they play disciplined football, which is a reflection of them being coached, or at least better coached than they have been. And you had 11 rookies that were on the roster, the game day roster yesterday, that many of them contributed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a really good day for the new regime. It doesn't mean they're going to the Super Bowl, but it means with Robinson, you know, participating, with Jones, you know, with others, guys that, you know, is it perfect? No, but guys are contributing.
Yeah. When people filled out their what are the Bears going to do game by game, I'd say 95% of the people did not have the Bears.
No, I did not have them winning on it yesterday. I did not.
So they did. And they used their new coaches' principles.
Hits.
The intensity, all of it. They used it. They used it. That's the foundation of what they're going to be this year. And that's all you can ask for. It was ugly. I went and smoked a cigar at the first half yesterday. I go, this is pitiful.
Terrible.
This is the worst thing. This is worse than last year. That's what I said.
Fields at half, three of nine, for 17 yards and a peck or something like that?
I think they had three yards.
They had three passing yards. Yeah. And they had three penalties.
Except for
as
the
many
defense.
Passing yards as penalties.
Except for the defense. I said, the defense has played. The defense looks good. The defense is doing something. And I didn't know how much the weather had to do with it in the field and the wet thing. I didn't know how much that had to do with it either. But I said, at least you've got the defense playing well. You're still in the game. It's only 7-0. You're not out of it. And then they made some plays in the second half.
Listen, the point you made is so true, too, earlier that you talked about.
You let a team hang around like that. I mean, somehow we kept saying to my wife
as we were watching the game over there, that Monsu said, you let this team hang around.
Yep.
And you know what? They don't know any better. A bunch of young guys out there playing hard.
Yep.
They're going to end up winning this game.
And the team that has a big favorite sometimes starts to tighten up a little bit.
Listen,
and you're on the road, and the weather stinks,
right,
and your quarterback's playing like crap.
Yeah, he did.
Listen, you're not going to win many games in this league with 200 yards of total offense where you average 3.6 yards per play and 2.7 per run. But you're not going to lose many games in this league when you only commit three penalties for 24 yards and turn it over once and win the turnover battle.
There you go.
And to me, that was the difference in this game. They did not, and it's the basis of the hits, whatever. Don't beat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed us that tendency that they don't beat themselves, even in meaningless preseason games.
They're undefeated.
Yes,
I know.
They won three in the preseason, and they've won they're 4-0 under Ben Eberflus.
But even in the preseason, you saw signs of it. You know, you saw signs of them.
Yes,
they were not self-destructive.
It translated. There are certain things in the preseason that don't translate. That was one of the great things. Like the fan base today is so joyful that this is a professional outfit.
It's nice not to hate your football team when the season begins.
I was taking Getsy's name in vain in the first half.
Oh, God.
I was
going after him.
Who was it?
I was not happy. I didn't like the running game. It was all dive, dive, dive. It was all inside. Even if they gave you toss action, it cut right back inside.
I did like the fact that they stayed with the run because the third and two touchdown pass, to me, was a direct result of their commitment to stay with the run.
Third and five.
They were selling out to stop the run. It's third down, and I was like, right, this is where your offensive coordinator shows you how creative.
Tommy, when you went to the line of scrimmage as wide receiver and you looked and you saw eight people in the box.
Oh, you knew they were coming.
You're waiting for an audible.
Of course.
Right.
You're waiting for some. We can't run against this. They've got a free man that's going to make the tackle.
They were content
Nobody
to run
can
against
account
it.
For him. Nobody yeah. can account
but
for
But I think
him.
The weather.
Right. Yeah. The Bears kept just pounding their. And I'm like, this. I go, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but they, listen, they're going to do a bunch of that this year.
Oh boy.
It's kind of frustrating.
Like if,
that's fine, but like that's what they're going to do. When you don't feel also that you're equipped to do a whole lot, sometimes the right thing to do is punt. It's a four-letter word that's for a team that's building. Like we were upstairs, Danny was saying he was mad that they kind of went into a shell in the final drive in the first half. That team needed to get into the locker room and reassess and make changes. Like, the last thing they needed was a catastrophic mistake at the end of the first half. And they made some adjustments, and they came out.
The towel incident.
Well, that
took points off the board. Well, who knows with the way they were kicking
out. I didn't know that was a rule.
I didn't know.
Like, who did?
Of course, I've never seen anybody try to wipe up a deluge with one towel.
Either have I.
I mean, you know, I've seen the snow thing, the snowplow game with the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Well, no player did that. Just some guy did it on his own.
That may be the genesis of how this rule now, it exists.
I don't know. I've heard good, like, Waddle was surprised that there was so much standing water. But I've heard other people say at least the turf held up and wasn't coming up in chunks.
Well,
so,
no matter what kind of lawn you have, the Kentucky bluegrass could hide it with its 3-inch, 4-inch blades of grass. It can hide the rain. It'd be down there. You couldn't see it pooling, but it would be pooling down there. This stuff, you see it right away because it builds up. There's nowhere for it to go right now. Over the course of 20 minutes, it's going to drain. It's going to get. But when too much water gets on there,
it's ridiculous.
It's got nothing. It can't do anything. It can't go anywhere.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care what kind. Roger Bossert himself would probably tell you there's nothing you're going to do.
What about the lines? Was that an optical illusion, or was it a crooked line?
No, I think the squeegees.
I think maybe the squeegees.
The paint was coming up.
And I think they maybe were redoing it. That's my guess.
When they were pushing it, the paint was coming up, and it might have been.
So it was straight before the game started.
That's what I would think.
And then once they started squeeging it, it looked crooked.
I mean, that's as much water during a football game as I can remember seeing in quite
some time. It's crazy.
It was a lot.
Listen, I give the grounds crew a ton of credit. And I get it. I was out there. It was awful.
Awful.
But you would think, doesn't like Green Bay and other places, they have a system where the water is sucked out from below and it doesn't get, it's never going to be
like
perfect,
that sub-air
but it
system?
Won't be that bad.
It might be, well, they don't have that here.
Early,
well,
that's the point. Like you can't sit and talk about player safety and all that other stuff and then not have like the latest and greatest out there.
Yeah, early 80s Tampa Bay Bears, I think there was a deluge like that.
It was wild.
That's the last torrential rain game that I've seen.
Well, were you in the Halloween game? Weren't you both in the Halloween game?
Yeah. It was snow sleet.
Yeah, that was sleet.
I don't know. Why don't
it
not rain?
It was rain sideways. It was the coldest rain I've ever.
That was like sleet.
You would step into the ground and your foot would sink 3-4 inches.
Yeah, that game was bad.
That was a monsoon. Everyone calls it the monsoon game.
Yeah, so it was awful.
It felt more sleety to me.
Yeah.
I thought it was rain. Waddle was walking around
with his T-shirt on before the game.
I said Waddle was a part of the two rainiest Bears games at Soldier.
You better stop going to Soldier.
I know.
Listen, I
would have felt just fine sitting on my couch. I had a lot of fun. It was great. It was good to be there. But, boy, you put a roof on that thing.
Yes.
You know?
It was a good day to be
on
the couch.
People think, though, now Bears weather has returned.
Not that thing. The new one.
No, the new one.
I don't know where I fall. I don't know if I'm in the majority, the minority here. The thing about the NFL to me that is unbelievable is you've got guys who can do stuff that nobody else can do. The majesty of the athleticism and the combination of speed and power. It's all nullified by crappy weather like that. I want
to
see
Shouldn't have to play in that.
I don't want it. Personally, as a viewer, I don't want to see that.
Well, how about having a great year then going up and having to play in the snow?
I know. That sucks.
And that happens, too.
It does.
I mean,
it
if you're in Pittsburgh, you might. There's a chance you get snow. Denver, there's a chance you get snow.
Green Bay.
There's a ton of places. Yeah, Green Bay. And you've seen Green Bay do it. And the New York Giants went in there with Coughlin and beat the hell out of them.
Well, so did the 49ers beat them last year. 49ers beat them last year.
What was it? A 10-3 Taffy pull, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it something crazy like that?
Yeah.
And they didn't score a touchdown,
remember? It was a block punt.
Right.
A block punt.
Listen, if somebody enjoys it, fine. Whatever floats your boat. Not to
10-7,
me.
10-7, I think.
We're supposed to get
10-7, maybe.
We're supposed to get rain in Green Bay now this week.
Oh, is that right?
And that's what the guys were telling me. Though I'm not trusting the app anymore. Yeah. I know when we start the show, we have a replay of the conversation from back last Thursday, where I was telling Waddle the hard stuff wasn't going to come till after the game.
Well, you were
because that's what the app was telling me.
I wish your app was right because it would have made my day a whole lot more.
I paid $3.99 for the app. I'm canceling.
That's a big mistake.
Dark sky.
Don't forget your galoshes if you're going up to Green Bay.
Our weather's going to be beautiful here for the rest of the week, starting tomorrow. It's going to be all 80s through the weekend.
Right.
It's going to be gorgeous. So
I hope it doesn't rain because I love Bears-Packers in September.
Yeah.
When it is nice, when you can tailgate.
I remember the Bears went up there and beat them one year. They beat him the Mike Brown year. Brown and Urlacher were up there.
Might have been.
And I think Mike Brown had a big fumble.
Brown and Urlacher. One time they go up there and they beat him. Here's change that.
I was up there for another Bears Packer game, and it was Amon Green that ran roughshod over Cordell Stewart led Chicago Bears team.
By the way, that handiwork that you did on that sheet of paper, what was the final conclusion?
That tomorrow. Because we're still kind of going over week one.
Okay.
Surprised. The conclusion surprised even me.
Okay.
I'm trying to find out what month the Green Bay Packers have been the most dominant over 30 years and which month is their weakest month to see if it favors the Bears or it doesn't favor the Bears.
All I know is last year they went to, where was it, New Orleans and got boat raced.
Yeah, and then they went 7 in a row.
And they came back and went 7 in a row.
And they've gone down to Tampa during a week. Was that last year, too, when they got crushed by Tampa?
Maybe two years ago.
2 years ago, and then they come back and they're fine.
That's why I'm doing statistics over 30-plus years.
Good idea.
1992.
It's a lot of work, Johnny.
I think
a deep dive. And then we'll say in the business, that's a deep dive.
The best month for the Packers is October. Duh.
I think you're getting a little salty.
What's going on?
I did get salty there. It was fun. 312. We should dissect that
tomorrow. Oh, yeah, when the jerk store called.
And they're running out of you.
They're running out of you.
I think you guys.
No!
George,
do it in the mic, not at me. I think you guys are a little immature.
Okay.
312-332-3776.
You guys have been lambasting me this whole time. It's like 3-on-1.
At least you weren't late today.
It was 1-on-1 right there. And you stood up. And then I'm like, oh, crap. He's going to beat me up.
I am not.
I'm in between. Don't worry.
I am not.
You're not a physical creature.
I go from 100 to 0. Real quick. And I'm not a physically violent person.
We both got lightheaded.
I did.
I like your golf shirt. You're hiding that under the pullover.
Yeah.
What are you doing? That's a beauty.
Yeah, I love
that. Well, you need a little pullover today. It's a little chill.
I know. That's why you wear a crappy shirt underneath.
Blood pressure cuff on my whatchamacallit.
I said there should be a health provider. Waddle may have come up with this idea.
I did. I took it to sales.
I
said you need to bring it in for Sylvie.
Northwestern Medicine
is our health provider right here. Bourbon.
Whenever something happens like that, we immediately all get
put the cuff.
Let's see how high our blood pressure goes.
I told our sales guys like 2 years ago, I said you should put it in the studio, and every time Sylvie gets hot,
it's her blood pressure check.
We
should check our blood pressure check brought to you by Northwestern Health.
Here it goes 170 over 110, a little bit high right now.
Yeah.
You may want to sit down, good kid.
There you go, 110 over 70 no more, boy. That ship has sailed.
Sylvie's oxygen level is down to 50 because Yurko's got his hands around his neck.
He's choking him out. I never put my hands on anybody else. That's not what I do.
It was.
Not only do we want to talk about the Bears win in a victory Monday.
It was.
My foot, though, I'm like Kung Fu, karate style.
But if you were at the game, Waddle's going to share the experience at the game. If you were at the game, we want to hear from you, too. Like, where does that rank? Was it one of the most miserable games you've ever been to, or was it one that you'll always treasure because it was a win and it was super memorable? I want to hear your experience at 332-3776.
All right, boys. Have a great show. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Waddle and Sylvie are next.
This is LIV Golf, a global tournament coming to Rich Harvest Farms. Louder, faster, better, shorter. 48 players, including Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, Sergio Garcia, and Ian Poulter. 12 teams, unrelenting action. Shotgun starts, fire finishes with music, drinks, and entertainment. This is golf as you've never seen it. This is Live Golf. Don't blink. Join them September 16th through the 18th for the first Live Golf Invitational in Chicago. Tickets are selling fast. Get yours today at livegolf.com. That's livegolf.com.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Similar conditions as well, right? Because if you go back to that game last year with the Colts and the 49ers, it was a storm. Look, I know, Silly, you were saying that it was later.
Are you a meteorologist now? Are you predicting a big swamp here?
Well, isn't it supposed to rain on Sunday?
Yes.
By the way, I did take a meteorology class at Boston.
That is true.
How'd it go?
I got an A.
Nice job, dude.
I didn't do anything halfway, Dan. Come on.
I don't know if you believe in the dark sky app at all. I pay $3 for this for some reason. It is telling me that more of the rain is coming in the back half of the day, closer to 3 o'clock. And we are supposed to have like a 19% chance of rain around noon for the Bears Niners.
Let's go down. I hope she's got an umbrella to Pam. How is it down there, Pam?
Well, you know, Joe, I got to tell you, I've had just about enough. Just about enough. No. Add to this now, the wind is starting to contribute to the picture. It's beginning to rain a little sideways here in this game, which will be remembered for the Chicago situation, but it may be remembered for this weather as well.
It is telling me that we are supposed to have like a 19% chance of rain around noon for the Bears Niners.
60% of the time, it works every time.
If it keeps on raining, love is going to rain.
If it keeps so on good. Raining, so good, Miller. 19% chance, my ass. I mean,
there was a 19% chance I was going to get sent off into the lake because everything was flooded.
I mean, how about you making the reference to last year's torrential rains that the 49ers were playing at?
And I remember that game. Like, a game was like...
You called it a swamp. You said swamp-like conditions, and sure enough...
Swamp-like conditions out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd hate to see what 50% looks like on
50% of the
gray
time.
Skies works, over there.
It works none right of the time. Now. How do I do?
Don't do that because usually it's spot on. Or just, you know what? Put Tracy Butler's phone number on speed dial.
And remember, I texted her after that.
And she got pissed.
And she said that it's going to be showery all game.
Yeah.
That's a bit of an understatement as well. I mean,
I will say this. There were moments, I would say like halfway through the second quarter to halftime, it started to rain again, but then it stopped. But it started to rain hardest, like 30 seconds before Trey Lance threw the pick to Eddie Jackson.
Yes, yes.
Like it was third and important.
You mean Jim Harbaugh?
Exactly. And then the rain came down like in buckets.
Yeah.
And then it didn't let up.
It's the second best timed rain that we've gotten in Chicago sports history, right? Number one being 2016 with the rain delay.
Yes, perfect timing.
The perfect timing once the Bears scored some points. And then they had that lead, and Trey Lance already had gotten hit and wasn't that good to begin with, and then it made it even that much tougher.
Take me through the first half from, like, your couch, and, like...
It was nice and comfy.
No, I know,
it was warm. I had a blanket.
I get it.
Kids were with me.
The point I'm making is and I couldn't really... First of all, the cell phone service or the internet service... In the stadium, not good. It's just not good.
Were you on the Wi-Fi? Did you join the Soldier Field Wi-Fi?
Couldn't get on. Anyway, I was watching the game anyway. I can only imagine what Bears Twitter was saying. Like, here we go again. Like, you know what? We lose Matt Nagy. Now all of a sudden we had the same different year, same thing.
As far as the offense?
Yes. Like the first half, it could not have been worse offensively.
I was proud of myself because it would have been easy to pile on.
Yeah.
But it's game one of a new regime in really bad conditions.
Yes.
So I didn't want to like do any sort of like proclamation like here we are.
Okay.
Like I saw one stat at halftime or something that Fox showed. I forget what it was. Mentioned it to you. That like this was the first time in Bears history since 1991, I want to say, that at the half they didn't have a reception from a receiver or a tight end.
And I was on that 91 team. And I said to you guys upstairs, I said, check the Saints game. And maybe that was the game they were referencing. That was indoors. That wasn't weather related. That was ineptitude at its finest for the first half.
I didn't write down the exact stat. I did write down on my notepad that, like, they were still managing in the first half to do stuff that all these bad Bears offensive teams haven't done. Do you know what? Like, think how a Cade McNown Bears offense didn't do that. A Shane Matthews Bears offense didn't do that. A Craig Krenzel offense didn't do that. A Rex Grossman offense didn't do that. A Kyle Orton offense didn't do that. A Mike Glennon offense and Mitch Trubisky offense didn't do that. But I'm like, look, this is new. It's a new team. They're playing with a lot of young guys. They're still within stride. Let's see the way this thing turns around.
The reason I mentioned it is because it was ineptitude of a different world. It was punt, interception, punt, 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 punt. That was the extent of their first half, where I think, as Carmen said, they had like three passing yards. And all I'm saying is because I really, normally I'd be sitting on my couch watching the game and following Twitter somewhat closely, I figured there were a lot of people with their daubers down.
What was it like for you? Because you don't go to a lot of games as a fan.
No.
And so it's alumni day. You're there with eight other people in your family, right? You had nine tickets.
Yeah.
Where are you? In the end zone? One of the end
zones? Section 251. Good seats. I mean, you could see everything.
And what was it like? I mean, like, so now your family is in a total, and especially in that fourth quarter, but what was that like for you as your experience? Was it a miserable experience for you? Was it a fun experience? Was it a little of both?
Yes. It was everything. Like, the weather was awful. But to be at the game, you're there with your family, you're watching your team, and you watch them, you know, face some adversity and bounce back from it. I mean, it was a good experience. I, quite honestly, you know, I'm glad I went. Is it more comfortable on my couch? Yes. I do think you can see, for me, I can see the game develop a little bit better sitting on my couch because the television presentation has become so good. When the ball's coming at you into the south end zone, you can see everything. When the ball's going the other direction, I find it a little bit more difficult to kind of follow. So I'm just watching the big screen up there. But it's cool. Anytime you get a chance to be there, it is really cool. But there's no doubt that the elements were challenging.
I think, like, late in the game, Mellor, were you watching it on TV?
I was.
Late in the game, didn't they use, like, the nighttime sort of camera where, like, the hash marks looked like they were black?
Yeah, they, like,
because it was so messy and you couldn't tell where the yard lines were?
Yes, the painted lines were blending in together. It was becoming blurry.
They were very faint to begin with. When the ball was kicked off, the numbers, the hash marks, all the lines were very faint.
What really stood out to me, I don't know if you would agree with this, Sylvie, watching, and I pulled a clip, watching the game, I have literally never heard the parabolic mic pick up the rain the way it did in the fourth quarter.
Let's hear it quickly.
Instead of messing around with a snap and a punter out there, they're going to snap it with the offense on fourth down and eight.
That's rain.
Yeah.
Well, they will let it all just run out.
I'm not going to lie.
Joe Davis is just like, get me back to LA.
After the Bears scored their
Where are all your Tony Lucia jokes now, Joe Davis, sitting in that rain?
We left too. Like, after the Bears scored that final touchdown and the 49ers got the ball back, and it just was a deluge, we all left.
Yeah. So were you at the game? 312-332-3776. Want to hear your experience. If you weren't at the game, obviously, and especially Victory Mondays, want to take your call. What's your biggest takeaway here? Like, they won. They beat the San Francisco 49ers. There is a ton to clean up. There's a lot. But still, to walk away in Matt Eberflus's first game with a victory and a lot of good stuff to take away, it's fantastic. Want to get to all your calls. Adam is in Roscoe Village. Adam, you're on ESPN 1000. You were there?
Yeah, hey, guys. I've had season tickets. This is my 25th year. And I got to take my 10-year-old daughter to her first regular season game yesterday. So
wow.
I got to see it both as somebody who's, you know, been going to games for so long and sort of through the eyes of a 10-year-old. And it was as special a game as, honestly, as I can remember. you know, notwithstanding it was her first game, it was pretty awesome.
Now, were you guys in the rain? Were you under an overhang?
We were lucky enough to be in the media deck, so we were covered up.
Well, see, then of course that's easy, Adam. No wonder.
Yeah, right. That's where Jesse was, right? Wasn't Jesse in the, he was under the overhang?
He had some overhang.
And we had several of our guys, our big boss, Keith Williams and
suite.
Danny Zetterman, puffing their chests out in the suites.
Yep.
The real fans were out there taking all of the rain.
You know, we were well suited, and the long walk and the chore that it is to get to Soldier Field, you know, we got wet enough on the way there, and even all the waterproof gear in the world can't keep you dry walking mile back after the game.
You're right, Adam. Listen, I was reminded. I was going to say just real quick. I was reminded of that as well because as we walked, we parked at the Hilton over on Michigan Avenue. And walked, and the walk back was just...
And you got to go through a maze. There's no direct route.
That's my route just about every game is from the Hilton there. Just real quick on takeaways, guys. You know, I went to Ohio State, so having watched a lot of Justin Fields, seeing the him talk and his mannerisms and actions after the game, he's a pretty intense guy and pretty serious. I don't ever remember seeing him get as excited as he was there at the end of that game and speaking with the press after the game. So, love the show. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's a good point to bring up, too, and especially what happened. And Joe Davis didn't mention this much. I mean, like, it's gift worthy. It is going. People are already making T-shirts on Fields sliding, slip sliding, and what a cool moment that was.
You know what that reminded me of? That's the old school, Sylvie. You remember when you had, like, when teams would make posters and, you know, as a kid, you'd throw them up on your wall, like the Black and Blues Brothers or something that became iconic. That, I feel like that was poster worthy, and there's so many possibilities with slogans with the rain and just being wet and just like how awesome the whole team was.
The poses were great. Yes. It was, well, let's talk about that. The coolness factor is back. I'm trying not to go over the top two because I've done that in recent memory.
204 yard afternoons.
We were like a Club Dub. No one got more oiled up for Club Dub than me. Club Dub, we were panning it at the end, you know, like, so I'm, you know, Tariq Cohen doing his thing in Club Dub. So, like, I loved what I
now
saw.
Now we got the new guy out here is giving you, like, the 30-minute rule. Celebrate for 30 minutes and we're getting back to work.
Yeah, let's get back to work. And I'm going to the Green Bay game, and it looks like more rain. But I want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. 312-332-3776. We'll talk about the field sort of GIF moment and the entire team following suit. Did you hear how that came to be? We'll explain that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So third down and long, a twist up front, able to collapse the pocket. Fields keeps it alive as a wide open Pettis. And now Pettis down the sideline and in. Improvisation and a touchdown from 51.
Complete turnaround after that play.
Well, that's what that kind of was the spark, wasn't it? Because that came with, what, about the five-minute mark of this third quarter? Prior to that, it was just garbage.
I texted the group. I was really concerned when it was, what's his name, who played safety for the Bears last year? Gibson.
Yes.
Gibson had a chance to have another interception.
Sean Gibson, I think.
Yeah, it was another questionable throw by Fields. And I'm like, oh, no.
Could have been a pick six.
And he had, and on that throw, there was no breakdown on the offensive line. He had this wide open pocket to throw from the pocket. And I texted the group. I'm like, this ain't going well. And then the breakdown where he was able to escape. And no one, I think it was the most open a player has been in years for a touchdown.
Yes, I think it was. Wasn't there a 16-yard cushion between Pettis and the closest defender? I think, I think that I saw the same thing.
There's like a next, one of those next gen stats. I'm here, per net. Next gen stats. Dante Pettis was the most open a Bears wide receiver has been on a touchdown since 2016.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That was the spark they needed. There was no doubt that look, they're still a work in progress. he's still a work in progress, functioning from inside the pocket. When he gets outside the pocket, you know, he can make some magical stuff happen.
We were talking about then the slip sliding part. Someone mentioned it, a Field said, in the huddle. It wasn't even Fields' recommendation. It was like one of the offensive linemen, maybe Komet, and then he agreed with it, and he says, everyone's got to do it. And it gave one of our coolest moments that we've gotten recently for Bears fans. Renee in Irving Park here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Renee?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Appreciate Welcome. You. Thank you.
Yeah, so I was at the game with some family and friends. We were in the south end zone, first row. So we didn't want to hide from the rain, but it was unbearable for sure.
It was unbearable, but still worth it. If I told you you got to do that again, but it would mean a Bears win, would you do it again?
100 times.
Okay.
100 times. Yeah. We got there early for tailgating and got there about 8:30 and had some windows where we were able to, you know, cook some food on the grill and stuff. And like you guys mentioned earlier, didn't really start coming down bad till the fourth quarter, but there was no point in getting out of our seats at that point.
Renee, thank you. Appreciate it. There you go. I've got an early weather report. Do you want my $3 weather report for Green Bay? I'll give that to you coming up.
Listen, the dark skies thing usually works. Like, my wife relies on it. It's been pretty accurate as far as I know.
I think it's more accurate in the short term, like within hours.
You were
like
projecting three days out.
Yeah, their 10 or 7 day precipitation guesses are strictly...
I can see you sitting on your couch.
Stock on the gray skies?
I can see you sitting
dark
on your
skies.
Dark skies.
Right, on your couch with chips all over your belly.
I'll try and get the name right for the app that gets everything wrong.
You know who recommended me this app, don't you?
I feel like I do. Once you say it, I'll remember.
It was your wife.
Yeah.
It was back when you guys would have to go to soccer games, would want to know by the minute when the rain was coming.
Yes.
So I downloaded it. And
like I said, I think in the moment it's very, very accurate. It just doesn't have a 3 day forecast for you.
So I've got,
that's 100% accurate.
All right, so I've got a 6 day forecast on what it will be doing at kickoff, and let's see how close to accurate
Follow
it's going to be.
Follow that closely.
312-332-3776. Justin Fields was the one not getting a game ball, but handing out the game ball. You'll hear that coming up next.